Wrath is fierce, and anger, it's a flood. But who can stand against jealousy? It truly is a green-eyed monster, isn't it? And if you don't learn how to control your jealousy, if you don't learn how to get rid of it, then I'm telling you, it will eat your lunch. It will destroy you, and it will destroy others. We want to talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Proverbs tells us that wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 19, we're going to see that it is very hard to stand against jealousy. Saul is a very jealous king. He wants to hold on to this kingdom that God told him he was going to take away from him. He has heard the songs on behalf of David. He has seen the love of the people toward David. He has seen David's mighty, mighty victories. He has received 200 foreskins of 200 Philistines as a dowry for his daughter. And still, that anger rages, and it's raging, and none can stop it. And it's going to be the demise of Saul, and it's going to be the destruction of many, many people as a result of that. Beloved, how you and I need to understand jealousy. We've called it in our writings a green-eyed monster. Forget the green eyes. Forget the blue eyes. It is a monster. And it's a monster, and I think it's because jealousy and envy go together. What do you do with jealousy? What you have to do, beloved, is you have to stop and you have to realize that God is God, and He has given you a place in life. And if there is another writer or another singer or another author or another speaker or another worker or co-laborer that is better than you, if you are using all of your abilities to the best of your abilities, all your gifts and all your talents, that's all God requires of you. God doesn't want superstars. God has all of us, really, on a level playing field. Now, He may put us here, and He may put us there. He may appoint us, and He may lift us up, or He may demote us. But He has us all on a level playing field, and He has us on that level playing field because there's only one that is to get the glory, and that is God. And you and I, whoever we are, wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, we are to glorify one and only one. And that is, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit because they're God's. The Holy Spirit is inside of every single Christian. And the Holy Spirit has a job for us to do, a task for us to do. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained for us to walk in. And so if we're living to the full strength, if we're doing whatever we do, if whatever our hand sees, or whatever opportunity we have, if we're doing all to the honor and to the glory of God, as the epistle says, then you and I need to rest, and we need to remember that if someone is promoted above us, promotion doesn't come from the east, promotion doesn't come from the west, promotion comes from God. We see this in the beginning of 1 Samuel. We see it in the second chapter. We see it in Hannah's prayer to God. And we understand that God is sovereign. Now the problem is Saul had the opportunity to be the mighty king. I mean, God selected him, God anointed him, but God had to deal with Saul, and he had to deal with Saul because Saul didn't believe God, and Saul didn't obey God. So now he's reaping the consequences. And he is raging, and he is raging because he is afraid of David. He's afraid that David is going to take the throne and that his lineage, his sons, will miss the throne. Watch it as we read it. Now, we left off in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and when we left there, I did not read the last verse of 1 Samuel 18, and that's what I want us to do, because it's a very, very significant, significant verse, because it gives you insight into David. So let's see what it says. I want to go back, and I want to pick up with verse 29, and it says, "Then Saul was even more afraid of David." He was more afraid of David because David now was married to his daughter, Michal. And being married to Michal, he was married to a woman that loved David. And because she loved David, she would side with David and she would help David. This was not a forced marriage. This wasn't daddy saying, "Hey, I want to put him out there and I want to get him killed, so I'm going to offer him you." And she's screaming, "No, no, I don't want that handsome, ruddy looking youth that is such a hero and such a warrior." No, she loves this man. And so it says, "Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went out to battle. And it happened as often as they went out," every time the Philistines come against them, every time they come against the Israelites, "that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul." I mean, don't you know that that just irritated Saul to death? Because what he sees is he sees this young man really glorifying God. He sees this young man being everything that he should be. And it makes him mad because he has a wisdom. God is with David and God is blessing David because David is a man after God's own heart. Remember, when God got ready to get rid of Saul because of Saul's disobedience, he said he was searching for a man after his own heart, one whose heart would beat in unison with his. And he found David. And a heart after God's is a heart that is living according to God's word, according to God's ways, with God's purposes in mind. If you read Acts, you'll see that David served God's purpose in his generation. So David's acting more wisely, and thus his name was highly esteemed. Now Saul, chapter 19, now Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all of his servants to put David to death. Put him to death. Now, what are we going to do? Well, remember, we're studying the Bible for ourselves. Remember, my goal, my passion for you is that you will get into the text of Scripture, that you will interact with the Word of God. Because when you do that, beloved, when you actually open the book and when you start to read aloud or you start to write or you start to mark or you look for key repeated words, then what happens is it's filing all this in a memory bank because you're using your different faculties of and that enhances your learning. And so you're going to know truth for yourself. And so this is my goal. This is why we have a study guide. And you need to go to preceptsforlife.com and you can download that study guide. Preceptsforlife.com. And you can also find many other helps there, other books. I've written one on how to study the Bible. We have an offer on the new inductive study Bible that gives you instructions for taking apart every book of the Bible on its own. At the end of 1 Samuel, there's a place for you to record the theme of every chapter of 1 Samuel. It's a Bible that you'll want to have if you want to be serious about studying the Word of God. Well, that's preceptsforlife.com. Don't forget it and go there, but not now. All right, so Jonathan, now it says that Saul wants to put David to death, and he told his son, and he told all of his servants, but Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death." Now, why would he tell his father? I mean, he's got to give his allegiance to the king. Well, remember I told you that there were some things that we had missed and that I wanted to go over, but I couldn't cover everything at one time. So what I want to do is I want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and show you why Jonathan is obligated to let David know that his dad wants to put him to death. Why his allegiance is to David rather than having his supreme allegiance to his father. Well, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says, "Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul," when David had finished speaking to Saul after standing there with the Philistine's head, Goliath's head in his hand, all right, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself." In other words, he looked at this young man and this was a soulmate. This was a young man that he said, "I love this man." Now, there's nothing perverted here at all. There's nothing unnatural here. It's the love that a man can have for another man. This is the love that lays down your life in battle for one of your buddies. This is a wholesome, healthy love. And so it says, "So Saul took him," David, "that day, and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant." So what you see is you see Jonathan's heart drawn to David. He loves him as himself. Then David comes and he moves in the house permanently. Remember, he's been coming and going. He's the harpist that they found to soothe Saul when the evil spirit would come upon him. Well, now David has moved into the house. So he's always got his harpist around when the evil spirit comes. And it says, "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself." Because he loved him as himself. All right. Now, there's no jealousy here, but there is a desire to have a solemn binding agreement. This is the superior going to the lesser. This is the king's son going to David and saying, "I want to make a covenant with you." Now the word to make a covenant, the word made is karath, K-A-R-A-T-H in the Hebrew, and it means to cut a covenant. So he cuts a covenant. There's a ceremony that they go through, and I'm going to talk about that ceremony later, but they go through the ceremony, and then he says, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. What does that mean? We'll talk about it when I come back. Thank you, beloved, for coming back, for being so eager to learn and study God's Word. What was Jonathan doing when he was taking off his robe and giving it to David? When he was taking off his belt and giving his belt to David? When he was taking his sword and giving his sword to David? Well, it says, on that day, Jonathan made a covenant with David. Remember, a covenant is a solemn binding agreement. The Hebrew word for covenant is B-E-R-I, Y-T-H. The Jews say like breathe. And I can't say it the way that my Jewish friends say it, but it's a solemn binding agreement. In that solemn binding agreement, what you're saying is we are becoming one. So taking off the robe and giving it to David is saying, look, you and I are now no longer living individual lives. I'm giving you my robe. You are putting on me. Now, in a covenant, what they would normally do is they would exchange robes. They would exchange bows. They would exchange belts. There's no saying here that they exchanged it. It seems like it's one way, and it seems like it might be one way at this point when we look at it, one way because Jonathan is the son of the king. But he's saying to him, here, you're putting on me. We're no longer one. When people look at you, I want them to see me right there with you. And here is my belt. Now, my belt is my sign of strength. And my belt is my sign of strength because that's where I put my dagger. That's where I put my sword. That's where I attach my sword. So the belt was very, very important. In Roman times, when a man was walking down the street, if his belt wasn't tight, but it was hanging down, not like the pants hanging down, but hanging down, it was a sign that he was off duty. So he gives him the belt and he's saying that your strength, my strength is your strength. In other words, we're in a covenant now. We have cut a covenant. Two have become one. And because we have become one and because you have put on me, then anytime that you're weak, I'm there to be your strength. I'm there to stand beside you. And then when he took the sword, and this is what's so important, when he took the sword, he was saying this. He was saying, in essence, David, your enemies are my enemies. In other words, if anybody comes against you to harm you, to do you harm in any way, then I will protect you. If anyone comes to fight against you, I am there right by your side. When you study all this and you do the study on covenant, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Because when we enter into a covenant with Christ, then we are to put on Christ. Christ put on our humanity so that he might die for us. We are to put on Christ and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. When we come to know Jesus Christ and we enter into that new covenant, then Jesus becomes our strength. When I am weak, Paul said, then I am strong. And so we take on his strength, and he took upon us our weakness. And he took upon our weakness when he hung on the cross, because in the weakness of the crucifixion, he was stronger than all the wisdom of men. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, and we don't have time to go into it because I would end up teaching it for several weeks. But also, your enemies become my enemies. And so when you and I enter into covenant with Jesus Christ, we don't have to fight our battles anymore. If somebody gets ready to punch out our lights, all we have to do is duck, because who's standing behind us? God's standing behind us. And so we duck, God's there, and all of a sudden they're fighting against God, and God says, vengeance is mine and I will repay. He also says, don't you touch my anointed. And so when we enter into a covenant, and what we have is a beautiful picture of this, when we entered into that covenant, we become one. This is what John 17 is about when Jesus prays, Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. So although this rage of jealousy is in Saul, and although he is determined to put David to death, still what you and I have to understand is because there is a covenant, Jonathan is obligated to defend David and to protect David. And we're going to see that as we go along in this study. But in 1 Samuel chapter 19, now Jonathan tells David in verse 2, Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand by my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I find out anything, I will tell you. Now, why? Because they're in covenant. Because Jonathan loves David as himself. And so he's going to do for David what he would have David do for him. And then it goes on to say, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you. And sin is a word that you want to mark. Wherever you see sin or iniquity, I just simply color it brown. And since his deeds have been very beneficial to you, for he took his life in his hand and he struck the Philistine. Once again, you want to mark the Philistine because this is a reference to Goliath. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all of Israel. He struck the Philistine and the Lord brought about the deliverance. And you saw it and you rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause? And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. All of a sudden, there's this moment of rationale, this moment of, okay, all right, but he's making a vow. And if you make a vow, you better keep the vow. And he's making a vow in the name of the Lord. As the Lord lives, I will not put David to death. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. And when there was a war again, David went out and fought with the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so that they fled before him. God's hand is still on David. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord. Oh gosh, another one. From the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing the harp with his hand. And Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear again. But he, David, slipped out of Saul's presence. So he struck the spear into the wall and David fled and escaped that night. Now listen to this jealousy. Remember, wrath is fierce and anger is like a flood, but jealousy, who can stand against it? Then Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him in order to put him to death in the morning. Oh, beloved, once again, we're in that place of jealousy. And I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I quoted it for you before, but I want to close with this verse. It says, jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give him many gifts. You know, who can stand against jealousy? Oh, beloved, put it away. Put it away and know this, that promotion comes from God. You're not in competition with other people. All you need to do is have a heart for God, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, and to know that God is God and that He can do whatever He wants to do with you. And if your heart is fully His, then God can trust you with promotion. All you have to do is prove yourself to God. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book and we take you through a book of the Bible or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? beloved, is our precept for life today. It is to be very, very careful of that green-eyed monster, because that green-eyed monster will turn on you. That green-eyed monster will destroy you, and it will destroy the relationships that you need in your life. So you need to be very, very careful. As you look at David and Jonathan, do you see jealousy? No, you don't see any jealousy. And yet you see, at the beginning, you see Saul really honoring David and bringing him home. And is there any jealousy because he brings him home? No, Jonathan welcomes him with open arms. And you never, ever see any jealousy between David and Jonathan. But you see it between Saul and David. And you know what? When you see jealousy, you have to stop and you have to look at your character. Because I'm telling you, you are not walking in a way pleasing to God. Jealousy means I am jealous of that person's position. It might be at work. It might be at school. It might because they're prettier, because they're a better athlete, because they have more money, because they drive a bigger car, because they have better jewelry, because they have status in the community. But I'm telling you, if you don't get rid of that, And you just are consumed, and it will consume you. It will consume you. And you are consumed with being better than another person, then you do not have your eyes and your heart focused on God. But you have your eyes and your heart focused on you, on the flesh. And remember, as a man sows, so he shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. So get on your knees and say, God, I am jealous. This is why I am jealous. Write it out. Write it out so you can see it. I am jealous of so-and-so, and this is why. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or get to 100. And then lay that before God and say, God, this is why I'm jealous of this person. And God, I want to look at this through your eyes. Okay? Is that person better looking than you are? Can you change your looks? I mean, you can have all sorts of surgeries, but it really doesn't change who you are inside. Is that person a better athlete? What does it matter? All of that is temporary. What matters, beloved, is character. So lay those things before the Lord and tell Him that you give them to Him, and write across it, I want to be like Christ. That's the one I want to emulate.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide, or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.